Thank you, Alpa, for joining me tonight.
Yeah, I'm so happy and excited to talk to you.
Yeah, I've been really looking forward to this call for a while, and it took us quite some time to coordinate, but I'm really happy that it's finally taking place and we get to do this.
Yeah, it's almost surreal. I think we've been planning this for like a month, but yeah, all good.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. So we can actually jump right in. Let's start off with some basics. So how did you know that you wanted to be an actress? Like, did you have a moment, like an epiphany, or was it just kind of something you knew you always wanted to do?
I think I remember being like a 4-year-old saying that, like, whenever adults ask, what do you want to be when you grow up, which they tend to do to kids, I would always just say I want to be an actor, I want to be a dancer, storyteller, ballerina, which that one never happened. Like Icing Girl, basically anything like performance related that involves sort of entertainment. And I would always say that. As far as actually knowing what an actor does, do you remember Xena Warrior Princess? I was like, am I like way like dating myself? Xena Warrior Princess would come on the channel like UPN or something that's now extinct. And I remember seeing that and being like, I don't just want to be any actor. I want to be that actor. Like, I want to do that type of stuff. And my dad would jokingly call me Mina Warrior Princess. So that was basically it. Like, I always just, when I think I still old early, so I can remember being 4 and telling people that. And the earliest I can remember getting sort of specific about what I thought that meant was Xena Warrior Princess.
All right, so that's awesome. You've kind of always known that this is the direction you wanted to go in, which is great because you're here now.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think
you're doing pretty well for your 4-year-old self to look up and be like, okay, like, I did it.
Yeah, I think that's so nice of you to say. I don't think any of us ever remember that feeling, which we should more. Like, we're always thinking of, like, oh, I'm not where I want to be, or, you know, what else do I want to do? But that's so, like, interesting that you would say that. I don't think about that enough. But, like, well, how would your 4-year-old self think of it? I'd be like, holy crap, you've done it.
So, yeah. I'm in a movie? Wow.
Yeah, what a nice thought. I'm seriously going to try and think about that more.
So did you face any specific challenges or any big obstacles while you were, you know, getting your toes wet and starting off acting?
The biggest challenge, I'd say, was going from academia, where I spent literally my entire life up until that moment. I came here after college, where things were much more linear, much more instructional, I guess. There was always an answer to those questions, you know? Like, oh, I know, I'll ask my professor during office hours. Whose office hours do you go to when you're trying to figure out, like, how do I even navigate Los Angeles to get to anywhere on time? How do I even find this agent? How do I find the people who are going to get me auditions? And then how do I differentiate the scam artist from the legit, you know? And some of those things, it's just wisdom. You make the mistake, and then you learn from it. And that's a completely different paradigm than all those years of academia, do you know?
Yeah, 100%. There's no textbook you can go and open and just like, how to navigate around Los Angeles as a new actor.
And for anyone listening, like, anyone who tries to tell you they have the answers, you should be very suspect of that person, you know?
And I think those obstacles kind of get thrown under the rug. Like, if I were to become an actor sometime in the future, the first thing I wouldn't think of is, how do I navigate LA? The first thing I would probably think of is, like, oh, how do I get an audition and get my name out there? So you're showing a lot of real-life examples of, hey, it's not just getting your name on a credit and trying to get a role. It's actually, like, the real-life situations of navigating all of that. So I really like that you brought those obstacles up. So you mentioned something about audition. So I actually did want to ask you, how was your experience auditioning for this specific film? And can you tell us a little bit more about the film?
Oh, about Traffic, yeah. So Traffic came to me, funny enough, now it will have been 2 years ago. So I was at a point where I at that point I only had one a credit on a TV credit for the show Awkward on MTV, and I was really grateful for it. So I never had a lead role, and I was just feeling devastated at the time. I was feeling like I don't have a sense of purpose. Like, there's so many things I'm passionate about in the arena of social justice and also my art. But in order to succeed in this field, you have to give 110% to what's in front of you. And I felt like all these years were going by, I didn't do anything that gave me a sense of purpose. And I was just really, really sad about that. And but I didn't know the answer. You know, like, I was like, well, if I take time out to do maybe volunteer, for example, like, I was also struggling financially. And so I'm like, yep. I don't, you know, it was so hard to juggle. People don't talk about that. I'm like, okay, so I have to be able to pay my rent. I have to be able to go out and audition. And I also have to feel like I'm doing something purposeful with my life. And those things just weren't in alignment for me. Then, so then I get asked by an associate who worked in my management company. And she was like, or she emailed me, basically a breakdown. And a breakdown is like when you're an agent or a manager and you're submitting your client for acting jobs, the format is called a breakdown. And it'll tell you what the role is, what the overarching like storyline is, like about a sentence, and it tells you the casting director, the director, and things like that. So she forwarded me like just like the character and, oh no, she forwarded me like the description for the character and the description for the project. And it sounded to me like this might be a porn. Like this sounds like how she's trying to, I was like, hell no. But her name is Anne, and she's just so sweet that when it came across me, my computer screen, and I'm like, this is fucking porn. Like, there's no way this is like, but she's so sweet, she probably doesn't get that. So I'm just going to answer her. Like, I'm going to say no in a nice way. And the nice way in which I said no was, I would have to read the script first. Usually I don't do things like this. It's like, you know, implied nudity or partial nudity is a possibility. And so she's like, oh, okay. And so she sends me another email, which to me, I had said no. Like, that was my nice way of letting her down. And I didn't want to be like, yo, you submitted me for porno. I don't know if you know this, but... So I turned it down my way, and then she emails me back and says, so they don't have a script that they're letting people read yet, but they have a dossier. And I'm like, what the F dossier? It's basically like a Google Slides document of a pitch deck, basically. Like, we have pitch decks in other fields, right? Like marketing. Yeah. So it's almost like a PowerPoint presentation put into slides, but more professional. And for this project called Traffic. And I'm going through and I see the writer Siddharth Kara, and I just read, like, I stumbled across a list of South Asians to look after, like South Asian doing big things kind of list, those listicles that pop up. And he's one of them for his work in human trafficking, in stopping human trafficking, to be clear. And so I was like, oh, I remember his face. I remember this name. And I scroll through and I see like who's attached, and you know, I think at the time, I don't remember if Ashley Judd was already attached, but they were talking about how Siddharth does work with the United Nations, and the purpose of this film is to be used as a tool to make real tangible change toward policy, toward awareness and things like that. And just when I saw who was part of the team, I know I was like, okay, this isn't a porno. First and foremost, this is not a porno.
Like, thank God.
Because that's like a very real possibility, by the way. Like, you see these sketchy like breakdowns on from Craigslist to like even like the legit acting submission sites. Like, you have to always be diligent. Like, you always have to be careful. If something strikes you as odd, like, you'd have to trust your instincts. And after having been here at that point, 8 years, I think it was, it was close to 8 years when I got that, when I had that submission sent to me, I'd already been through, like, tons of sketchy people. And, you know, so I was like, whoa. this is not what I was expecting after all. But but I was still right to question it. Like, I guess what my point was, like, yeah, if you're here for 8 years, you'll know why that sounds.
Yeah, there's no harm in double checking, you know.
Of course, it's always so then I see this and I see the intention and it's based on his book, and this is far more like a safer space than what I thought it would be. And I was like, oh yeah, oh my God, tell them I'm interested in auditioning for this. And they sent sides, and sides, another term, is just a portion of a scene for script. So just the portion that you're going to be auditioning for. So I didn't know the whole story or anything. I only knew one scene. Typically, that's an impossible situation they put actors in. Like, to not even have the script available, it's like shooting in the dark. Like, imagine extracting a scene from your favorite movie, and all you know about the scene is, like, if you've never seen the movie before it was even made. Like, what's your favorite movie, like, for example? Just to give you some context.
So many. Let's just say I just saw The Avengers, the latest one.
Yeah, The Avengers. You're right. So say, like, The Avengers wasn't a known property. Like, it's just a script called The Avengers, but we don't know anything that's based on a comic or anything like that. We don't know that it's Marvel. In those cases, it's usually called something like a code name. So, like, it's for The Avengers. If it really were for The Avengers, it would be under a code name, like, I don't know, Gray Swan instead of Black Swan. I'm just making that up. So it's called Gray Swan. You're given a scene, and the characters aren't going to be, if it were Avengers, the characters would not be called by their actual names. But in the case of Traffic, like, you know, characters aren't called what they're supposed to be called. But I have zero context whatsoever, other than a sentence telling me what the story generally about. But the only reason that didn't throw me off in this one particular case was that it's such an extreme circumstance. Like, if you're a character, you're told you're from New Delhi, India, this is your age, you're 17, your name is Amba, and you're on a truck, and you've been trafficked, and you're talking to another character named Molly, and go. That's not enough information to really feel emotionally attached to it, but it's human trafficking. All I had to do was put myself in that position, and I was like, okay, I can do this, you know? And I also did a little bit of research beforehand. Like, I looked on YouTube for survivor stories, and just to get a little bit more emotionally, I guess, to understand the stakes, the state of being, you know?
See how it felt like actually being in that situation.
Yeah, some people who've actually experienced it. And then, so that coupled with how I imagined it would be, and that was how I prepared for it. And that's what it was. It's the one time, the only other time I felt this way where I was like, I got this, was when I actually got it, which was really awkward. And think of that, like, one in, like, let's say, like, 50 auditions, 100 auditions is when I felt, like, this confidence. But I had, like I said, been anguishing over not feeling like I had a sense of purpose, not being able to address any social issues, but still having to devote all my time to acting. This was exactly what I'd asked for. So I was like, I'm going to get this. Like, I am going to get this one. I have to get this one. And so, that's basically the steps leading up to that audition, which is a funny story. But I felt like it was like an answer to my prayers that I had been, you know, having up to that point in that time of my life.
No, that's definitely a very interesting experience, because all of those factors playing in, it's kind of like there's your answer just kind of coming in an email. At first you tried, you know, pushing it away, and then it just worked out really well.
Yeah, I did. And the one other thing, which I think when we talked back a couple months, maybe a month ago, was that we can jump off from this later, I think, but like as an Indian who looks like me, who is sort of like lighter skinned, it's not just like a skin tone thing, like just like feature wise and like not what your typical non-Indian casting director assumes is what Indians look like. I was afraid that I might not get my fair shot, because of those factors. Like, that was a real fear of mine. I was like, oh no, what if, because, you know, I want this so bad, what if that happens to me? And it just so happened that for that audition, the writer who's Indian and his wife, who's also Indian from New Delhi originally, were in the room. And
yeah,
they look more like me because of their, like, where in India their family's from.
Yeah.
And so that factor, which could be very real, like I'm saying, like, that happens all the time. That, and then the accent I used, like, the director turned to them and they were like, I'm sure they were dubious, like, oh, is that what it is? And they were like, yeah, that's it. That's exactly how we talk. And, you know, that's, you know, intonation, that musicality, the ad lib she did, like, all of it. And I don't think, again, like, the synchronicity of it, I could have missed that shot if they weren't in that room. So I was very lucky.
No, that's definitely really interesting, because my perception of being a South Asian actor in Hollywood would be, oh, am I too Indian? Do I look too Indian? Maybe they want someone who looks a little different than me. And I always go back. So I remember when you had brought this up of not the thought of not being Indian enough, I thought that was really interesting, because here people are telling you what you should look like and what you should smell
like. To me, like, it's like mansplaining, but like race-splaining. Okay. They're white-splaining to Indian actors what being Indian looks like and sounds like. It's been going on with, like, for years. Years.
Yeah.
Any Indian actor can tell you that, and, like, I'm sure, like, they have their own stories, but I don't know how many times I've been told, like, oh, that's not an Indian accent. And I'm just like, how the fuck would you know? But you can't say that, right? Like, you're in that position.
No, exactly.
Well,
it's like,
can't.
Have you ever been to India? No, you're getting
or
Indian accent based on The Simpsons.
Or maybe, like, the casting director went to India once after college to find themselves and whatever, or whatever, and whomever they ran into, they think that's what an Indian sounds like. But that doesn't take into consideration, where are they in socioeconomically? What TV shows do they watch? What generation are they in? Because that, the generation will determine what they probably watch, right?
Of course.
Playing a 17-year-old in New Delhi, India today would be different than playing a 17-year-old Indian, say, in the 90s, before the internet, before maybe even British colonial India. Even the way they speak English would be different. The only English they would know is extremely proper, if they know English, right? Like, all those things factor into what is an Indian accent. And then as far as what an Indian looks like, I don't think
what region are you looking at? The South?
And even sometimes within a region, like, I find Punjabis with, like, green eyes and very fair skin, and they're just as Indian as the Indians who are darker headed with darker skin. And I think it's so strange that we have to, like, justify ourselves. And it's so funny, because when I would complain about that in my earlier years, everyone's like, you should go to Bollywood. Like, that was the default reaction. You should go to Bollywood. And I'm like, I'm born and raised here. I want to work in this industry. I'm not going to run away to find someone who's going to, like, I guess, prefer the fairness of my skin, which that offends me too, right? Like, I'm not just going to, like, I didn't see any value in just saying, well, that's how it is, I'll try somewhere else. Like, I was never going to accept that.
And that's actually a very interesting point that you bring along, that people were suggesting that you just go to Bollywood, because that kind of shows that in Bollywood, they kind of favor the Indians who, quote unquote, don't look Indian. Meanwhile, in Hollywood, you're not going to get a role if you don't look Indian. but bouncing off of this whole talk about the differences that Bollywood prefers versus Hollywood, would you ever even take a project from Bollywood, or is it something that you are interested in?
My dream position, if I were to work in that industry, would be able to co-write and act in films there. Because I think for me, and things are getting better there too, but I think there are a lot of stories that I would love to see done there. And I think a lot of people in the industry are always saying, like, I've heard, like, in interviews with Indian actresses, like, why don't we have our version of name the thing that's often here? You know, like, why don't we have our own homeland? Why don't we have, and it's like, I think a Bollywood movie can always be its own thing. Like, I don't think it needs to adjust. You know, I think that there's a place for it. There's always an audience for it. But when they're trying to tell stories that are next level, you know, in terms of, like, a global appeal, I feel like a lot of the smaller stuff is better. It's stuff to Indian storytelling, Indian characters told in the Indian way. And,
I agree with that. I do agree with that. And I think that's a really good point that you brought up, that if you were to go into Bollywood, it would have to be something substantial and authentic like that. And you wouldn't just kind of be like, oh, okay, they're offering me that role. All right, I'll take it.
I'll do it. Yeah. Like, oh, I get to twerk in some, like, item number. Can't wait. I think I'm, you know, like, no, thank you.
Sticking to what you know and what you want. You're not just
And how I would contribute. Like, right? Like, I think I'm at that point where I'm like, well, you only do something if you really would, improve and help push things forward. And it would be an extreme challenge for me, someone who was born and raised here, to do something in the realm of, like, a Devdas or something. But I think it's possible. Like, I would love to. If given the opportunity, I would do everything. It's just like theater. Like, you go back and you train and you work on your accent, and it's a challenge, but you're an actor and that's your job. You do it. So I would do that. I'm not saying I can just waltz in there and do it tomorrow, but I would consider it a challenge and something that I'd be excited to undertake. And then on the other hand, like, creating things which I think are authentic and I guess novel, but within the parameters of what I kind of outlined earlier, where it's like not dumbing things down and not pandering, but still appealing and interesting and different, you know?
No, I definitely like that. Jumping off of how you said how you would train for a specific role, like if you were offered a Devdas type role, how did you actually train and what was your experience acting in traffic? Like, how did it play out?
You know what was funny is on set, a lot of people would hear me speak in my American accent and they would be like, whoa, what? Some people were like, do you just stay in the accent all, like, some people assume that you have to stay in an accent all day. Okay, so I guess to answer your question, I was so familiar with that younger New Delhi accent, because I've seen plenty of, like, Coffee with Gutter, and I don't know if you know what that is.
It's like definitely.
Coffee with Gutter, or, you know, listening to Bollywood actresses do their interviews, and they all have their different accents. So it's not like there's one accent. Like, Kareena Kapoor sounds different from, what's her name, Bhatt? Alia Bhatt sounds different from Priyanka Chopra, who has her own whole other accent because she studied here. So when I was thinking about it, I'd seen, like, there's, like, a YouTube viral video called, something like Shit New Delhi Girl Say or something like that. And that accent was, I've heard people talk that way, but that's a little bit spoiled. Like, it was an exaggeration because it was comedy, but it's, like, a spoiled girl accent. So it was the same, like, socioeconomic level as my character, but I have some license there because my character is about to go to MIT. She's a swimming champion. So I'm like, you know what? I decided that she's a bit more of a, I wouldn't say tomboy, but, like, she's just not that, like, spoiled rich girl who goes shopping all day. That's an archetype that you can say is fair to associate with New Delhi because it is highly metropolized. There are a lot of wealthy people there, and they do have a certain sound to them, which I've heard myself almost like Clueless, but in the Indian version of that. But that's not going to elicit sympathy from an audience, right? Like, that's annoying. So I thought about that, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that accent. But I also thought about how, yeah, I think that since Amba is going to MIT, I bet she's probably visited. She's probably done, like, those campus summer programs. she probably has friends in America. She probably keeps in touch with them. So then I let that sort of water down the, I guess, quote, Indianness of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I said, it does affect your accent. Case in point, like Deepika Padukone versus Priyanka Chopra. Like, studying abroad, having friends abroad, and watching TV, like, or YouTube, from American artists will change your accent, especially as you're growing up. And she was only 17. So that. And then as far as, I didn't need to stay in it between takes because I was already familiar with it. And so I didn't really have to stay in character. And then as far as, like, preparing for it, I kind of, because it was such an extreme circumstance of, like, you know, getting beaten and being, like, all these terrible things that happened to these girls in the story, there wasn't really anything to do but to really, really, really believe it's happening to you. And so every time I cry, like, it's 100% real, like, terrified or sad or feeling hopeless or, you know, feeling whatever those feelings were, if there were tears involved, they were real. And then, yeah, I mean, because I don't know how else. Like, I don't know how to fake cry. I don't know how to – there are certain things that other actors might do differently. For me, it was just believing this is happening to me. There's no way out. No one's going to rescue you. And you have to go back into every scene that way. Because another thing they don't tell you is you might be trying to tell the one extreme example I have is, like, I had to do early on, like, this character has a rape, more like implied rape. It's not full on in front of the camera happening. But that's a certain state of mind I have to be in for that. And on top of that, she was drugged. And I've never been drugged before. And then also, like, your instinct to fight back is now hampered by the fact that you're drugged. While I'm trying to get into that state of being, people are on the set are like, hey, is this the right light? No, okay, well, hand me this, well, hand me that, or what's for lunch? And, you know, all these conversations going on while they're setting up the cameras, and your job is to stay in that character state of being and so that you're ready when they call action. That is extremely challenging. Ideally, you're on a set where the director knows that and he tells everyone to shut up, right? I'm not saying it's always going to be like that. Like, normally, like, you know, if you're in a supportive environment, that's a given. People will be like, okay, well, the director, it's his job to be like, or her job, to have everyone accommodate the artist knowing that it's that difficult. But that's the thing. Like, and you're also shooting out of order. So then, you know, you might be doing a happy scene where it's a flashback scene in the movie, but you shot it, like, after a traumatic scene. And so It's just, you know, it's just scene by scene. Like, when you're off on your own, you just have to get there and remind yourself of what she's feeling, and then you remind yourself of the actual sequence versus the shooting sequence. And those are all things that that go into tying a character. And the last thing is that, remember I mentioned that I didn't have a script when I auditioned?
Yeah.
So I didn't have a script when I auditioned or when I did the callback for the audition. And so after the callback, the director called me and he's like, yeah, we really were moved by your performance and we're considering you. And just a, you know, quick question, are you a good swimmer? At that time, the answer was like, I'm terrified of drowning. I've never learned to swim. It is the one thing where I'm okay if I die and never learn because I'm that scared. Oh, but God. I really wanted this part. I didn't want to lie. And there's no value in lying about something like that. It's not even practical. For all I knew, it was going to make me show him the next day, right? Like, so, but it's my nature. I didn't want to lie. Anyway, but what I said to him was, I'll be honest with you. I am not the best swimmer, but I will not let that be the reason why I don't get to tell this story. So in other words, it won't be the reason. Like, I please consider my performance, and if I get this, it won't be an issue. I'll make sure it's not an issue. But, like, I really want to tell the story. He was like, yeah, thanks for telling me the truth. A lot of people would have lied about that. And the funny thing is, one of my writer friends were like, why the hell did you say no? Like, why? And I was like, no. And so I told the truth, you know, in a way that's palatable. That is the truth, right? I didn't tell him that I was terrified of drowning. It's a mortal fear. But I did tell him I'm not the best swimmer, and I won't let it be an obstacle in getting to tell his story, and that's the truth. So I had to, he was like, well, okay, just to tell you, like, thank you for being honest with me, but this character is like literally a swimming champion. So we actually have to shoot a scene where she's swimming and winning a race. And also there's a scene where one of the other characters, when they're trying to escape, where she almost drowns and your character has to rescue her in a river.
Oh, God.
And I can't even be in water that's not 5 feet. I'm 5'4". So if I can't put my face above the water, like, and with my feet touching the bottom, I can't. I'm like, no. Hell no. and I didn't have, he was like, we're leaning toward you. I can't make you any promises, but I can only say this. Like, we're starting to shoot. At that point, they were saying, like, mid-June, and it actually got extended to, like, August. But at that point, it was, like, towards the end of May. And he was like, I don't want to tell you to, like, start working on it because I don't want to promise you a role that's not yours yet. We still have to get approval from the producer. They have to audition some more girls. But I'm like, you know what? I probably should learn how to swim in life anyway. So, and he was like, yeah, that would be great. Because he didn't want to say, like, work on it from now because we want you to be the part. But he also didn't want me to not work on it and then get the part. So that night, I got this call in the afternoon. That night, like, I got home, and I was like, I lived in an apartment that had a jacuzzi and a pool that was no more than 5 feet deep. So I just started waterboarding myself because the number one fear was my face being in the water. So I started with just my face in the water, and it was, like, repeatedly, like, 10 times until I got it. And without, God, like, panicking, yeah. And then I would say the jacuzzi was about less than 5 feet in diameter, and I just tried to get down the motion of swimming from one end to the other, just the motion. And then I graduated to the pool, which was fucking cold. It was, like, still summer, like, almost summer, but the water was freezing, and it was not a heated pool at all. But I would just, like, plunge in, and because it was only 5 feet, I didn't have to worry about drowning. So I started practicing, and then I had a friend who had been a lifeguard, and I was like, yo, could you, like, help me? And I started on a Monday, and he couldn't come till Wednesday. And by Wednesday, he was like, oh, you have it. You have it down. Like, I just need you to, like, don't do that thing with your head where you keep it above the water. Just, like, put your face in the water more. But other than that, like, you've got it. And just, you know, having that reassurance was helpful. But that was probably – but all of that happened before we even started shooting. But –
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. And, like, but the funny thing is it's been 2 years since we wrapped Traffic. I haven't touched a pool in 2 years. Like, I'm so scared. Like, I am scared of drowning. That's, like, a real fear of mine. When we were shooting the scene where the swim meet, that water was, like, I think 6 feet or 7 or 8 feet or something. I was terrified, absolutely terrified, because the director was like, I need you to show me if you can dive. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I just want you to dive. And we're, like, literally minutes from starting to shoot. And he couldn't understand. He was like a water baby or one of those, like, kids who've always known. And he's like, yeah, just dive. And I'm like, put my head with force into this water where I can't touch the bottom. Oh, and I had to do it. There's no, like, people are waiting. Like, everyone's waiting for you. So I did it, and I did it, like, maybe 3 or 4 times. And he was like, never mind. That sucked.
And but, hey, at least you did it. That's really, great. That you actually, you kind of overcame your fear for this role, so that's pretty awesome.
I kind of didn't have a choice, right? Like, it was one of those funny things where I'm like, of course, God. Like, of course, it's the one thing that would keep me from doing something I really want to do. that quote where, like, the things you want are on the other side of your comfort zone, that was, like, that in, like, the most ironic way possible. Like, everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of your mortal fear.
Yeah, seriously.
Have fun with that. And then last to, like, the river scene. So, like, that's no joke. Like, even a trained swimmer could, like, potentially drown in a real river. I was lucky enough that the year we shot, there was a drought. And so the river, which still had a current, was, like, 3 feet deep. So in the movie, when it's, like, there's a big splash in there, like, I just had to make it look like it was really deep. But I'm literally, like, crawling on rocks the whole time with my knees bumping the rocks. And that's how we made it work. But I was so grateful because for someone who's still, like raw with her, like, fear of swimming, to have to, like, rescue someone in a river with a current, oh, my God. That would have been awful if it was at its normal height. Depth, I mean. Yeah.
No, that's definitely insane. Out of all the roles you've done, would you say this is some of the work that you're the most proud of?
I mean, yeah, like, the only other stuff I've done was, like within being a theater major, and so almost by default, it's the work I'm proudest of. But I think I'll always look back and be happy this was my first movie role because of what it represented, you know? Traffic is on Amazon Prime now. Like, it just went on Amazon Prime last month. So for people who are members, it's free.
Thank you, and I will be in contact with you.
Okay, good. I hope everything doesn't sound too rambly. I hope it was okay. Was it, like...
I think it should be okay. I didn't really experience anything with the recorder. But, yeah, if there's any concern, I'll definitely reach out to you. But I think we should be good to go.
Okay, cool. All right, well, then have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you. You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.